This episode of A Productive Conversation is sponsored by Uplift Desk. In today's work environment, it's essential to find balance and promote well-being, and Uplift Desk is here to make that a reality. With a focus on ergonomics and innovative design, Uplift Desk offers standing desks that not only encourage healthier work habits, but also enhance your overall productivity. Each desk is built with unmatched stability and quality, ensuring that your workspace is both dynamic and durable. The beauty of Uplift Desk lies in its extensive customization options, allowing you to select from a vast array of desktops and accessories to fit your specific work needs and aesthetic preferences. Additionally, Uplift Desk is committed to customer satisfaction, offering fast shipping, free returns, and a 15-year warranty. Transform your office and your health by visiting UpliftDesk.com/timecrafting for 5% off your order. That's UpliftDesk.com/timecrafting to get 5% off your entire order. With Uplift Desk, you're not just investing in a piece of furniture, you're investing in a healthier, more productive future. Again, go to UpliftDesk.com/timecrafting to get 5% off your order today.
Hi, I'm Mark Champagne, and I'm about to have a productive conversation with Mike Vardy.
Welcome to A Productive Conversation. It's me, Mike Vardy, and I get to talk to yet another Canadian on the program today and have a productive conversation with Mark Champagne. Mark is the author of Personal Socrates, which is a book that I received as a gift from my friend Mike Schmitz. It's a great book. I go into how the book was made through Baron Fig, through their new book imprint. Lots of cool stuff that we discussed there. But Mark, what he does is he unpacks the mental fitness practices and reflective questions that are shaping the lives of some of the most successful and brilliant thinkers in the world, both past and present. He gets into that in the book. The book itself is a best-selling book, and it explores the pointed questions that stimulate our mental fitness and teach us how to direct our internal narrative to work for us instead of against us. So you know we're going to talk about journaling. You know that we're going to talk about the questions that matter and why questioning matters at all. So much more. Here we go. Let's get into this conversation. Here's my productive conversation, a productive conversation with Mark Champagne. Enjoy. Mark, welcome to the program. Thanks for joining me today.
Thank you for having me. I can't wait just with that start. We're going to have a blast.
So for those of you listening to the actual podcast recording, it took three takes. Now, to be fair, you did not take the longest to get that right. So just know that. Just know that.
Okay.
But we did not hear our typical Ontario. You've spent enough time outside of Ontario because people think that the Canadian accent would say about. It's like, oh, everyone says a boot. That's not true. It can be pronounced, like it can get that way. But you're based where? You're just outside of Toronto, right?
Yeah, I'm in a couple hours outside of Toronto in Collingwood, Ontario. I did live in Toronto for a number of years and lived in Montreal as well. But we are in Collingwood. For anyone that is on the West Coast, I'd say we have the fake mountains over here, but at least I'm skiing and snowboarding on something, but it's definitely not the West Coast Rockies.
No, and this is, I mean, again, I'm on the West Coast of Canada in Victoria. Yeah, we have, I mean, even the mountains on the island are more impressive. I used to live in a place called Hamilton, which is not too far from Toronto, and they called it Hamilton Mountain. When you go back there, you're like, not really.
It's a bump. It's a little bit of a bump.
It's a cliff at best. Mark, I've been looking forward to having this conversation with you for a while. I have in my hands my friend Mike. I think was it Mike Schmitz that gave this to me? My friend Mike Schmitz from the podcast Bookworm.
Oh, yeah.
And we're good friends. He gave me a copy of this as a gift, which I was going to get anyway because we're going to talk about the building of this book too, because we've had Joey on the program before, Joey Caffone from Baron Fig. And the building of this book itself, the craftsmanship that goes into it, it's fantastic. But the book is called Personal Socrates, Questions That Will Upgrade Your Life from Legends and World-Class Performers. And right out of the gate, I want to ask you, because I think a lot of people don't take time for questioning. They're so frenetic with the pace of the world, their day, what have you, that they don't, that thoughtfulness and mindfulness sometimes is removed from the equation. So why do we need to take time for questions and questioning, like, why does it matter?
Well, I think you nailed it at the very end of your statement, where people, because we all ask questions. It's just, are we asking the right questions and are we asking intentional questions? That's the difference. And you mentioned that at the very end. I think I want to give us ourselves some credit, because we're living and operating in a society that is not really conducive to slowing down to ask questions. It's always the next thing. It's always the next meeting. And as soon as you flip on any type of content, we're getting hit hard with post after post. So it's just, we're operating in this very fast-paced world where, I mean, obviously given the topic of the show, where doing the most in the you know, least amount of time is still really celebrated, which just knowing the show, I'm assuming we probably agree on a different definition on how to work.
Yeah.
So with that all being said, it's no surprise that, you know, the default operating state is like frantic, or, you know, we feel like we're in states of anxious thoughts and looping narratives and so forth. And like things are just moving so fast. So what it takes, though, I think, is that we need to find a relatable narrative. And whether that's a book like what I put out there, or Stoic philosophy, or whatever it is that lights you up, just to pause for even a minute to ask some good questions, then all of a sudden we can surface some clarity, slow down, because we have all the answers. It's just we don't let them surface, right? So I think that's why, I mean, we're all born asking a million questions, right? That's how we learn how to walk and move and get around in life. And then at one point, we start asking fewer and fewer questions until usually we hit some sort of wall, metaphorical wall. Something explodes in our lives and we're forced to ask questions. And a lot of us have been forced, just given everything going on with the pandemic. It's forced a lot of global reflection, I would say. But we don't have to wait for these like life-changing, altering events. We can slow down, build it into our routines on a daily basis. That doesn't take very long, and stack that into our current rituals and routines just to be a little bit more self-aware. And then it keeps snowballing from there in a good way.
I recently tweeted, and as we're recording this, one of Socrates' quotes, because, and we're going to talk about the Socratic method, because some people may not be familiar with it.
Yeah.
And I'll get you to address it in a minute. But there was a quote, "Beware the barrenness of a busy life." And that, man, like to be, you mentioned that we probably have a simpatico in terms of how we think about working and being more intentional. And like, yeah. I've said this before, it bears repeating, productivity is not about efficiency and effectiveness. Those are byproducts. Productivity is about the alignment and the active linking of intention and attention. Simple as that, pure and simple. And if your attention is on something you didn't intend, then you're going to end up in a place you didn't want to go, and you're going to wonder how you got there. And if you're, you know, if your intention doesn't get the attention it deserves, then you're going to, you know, languish. You're going to, why didn't I get this thing done? Oh, right, because I didn't give, you know, I didn't point it in that direction. Let's talk about why the Socratic method has played such a role, not just in the building of this book, but just in your life.
Well, I'm glad you had Joey in the show, because Joey actually has a lot to say, or a lot to do with how this, first of all, the book title and the link with the Socratic method. I've known Joey for quite some time, and we first met when I was running one of the first guided journaling apps in the app world, around the time when all the big meditation apps were taking off, like Calm and Headspace. And I linked up with Joey and the team at Baron Fig around that time, just looking for print services and so forth. And when we were chatting about, fast forward essentially 5 years later, we're chatting about this, the book and the concept I had just started outlining and mapping the idea. And I was telling him about the podcast as well that I still host, Behind the Human, and how all of my work centers around collecting and curating these questions that anyone's asking, you know, whether they're Olympians or, you know, successful entrepreneurs or designers, writers, technologists, like it didn't matter who it was. They were all asking these really impactful questions, and they'd ask a big question, then a, you know, question that would follow suit, and it would just continue to unpack to get to the core of things. And I remember Joey saying, he's like, oh, so you're talking about the Socratic method. I said, I never really thought about it that way. I'm like, I know of Socrates, like yep. most people probably listening. And that's about as far as I went. Unlike, you know, Joey, I didn't have a minor in philosophy. So so Joey and I had a good chat. And then he follows it up by saying, this book should be named Personal Socrates. And I said, Joey, absolutely not. I am not a philosopher. I don't want this book to feel like some sort of philosophy book in some capacity where it, like, I was just thinking, oh, it's going to be really dry and this and that. And I apologize for any philosophy majors out there. It's a huge part of my life, but I'm painting a different light on it right now. I continued down that track until I started to look into Socrates and, you know, to go past the surface myself. So I was asking the questions and following my curiosity, saying, like, who is this guy? What's the deal? And it didn't take very long, Mike, but it was like, it's pretty impressive that almost since the beginning of time, we're using a method that is still around, invented by, you know, Socrates. We're not necessarily doing it intentionally, but we are doing it in some capacity. So how is it that a method has stood the test of time? And what can we do to modernize it so we can be a little bit more intentional with the questions and so that the narratives match present day?
Right.
And that's when I started to get really excited about it. And to just unpack, okay, well, let's look at the Socratic method, what scholars were saying about it, and back in those days too, what Plato and so forth, what they were saying about that method, and take it and boil it down to something so simple that we don't have to think about it. And that really links to what you just said around productivity as well. Is step one, asking questions to get clear. We need to know where we're at, where we're heading, whether that's personally, who am I striving to become, or professionally, what's the outcome of this project or what's the desired outcome? Plant the goalposts. And then after that, questions to make sure that we're taking intentional actions. Do my habits, do my systems, do they support the person I'm striving to become, or are they pushing me farther away from that person? And the third part just happens by default. There's an expansion of possibility when that happens, because now you can see the path because you've taken that time to get clear. You've designed and adjusted your workflow, your life, everything in your realm of control to support that path. And then all of a sudden, oh yeah, obviously, you know, that's the path or that's the conversation, or someone starts to call that. You're like, oh, that seems like the timing is quite interesting on that one. Well, it's because you're doing the things to support those outcomes.
Yeah, I have a question lined up and I'm going to get to it in a minute. It has to do with journaling because you talked about the journaling app, and I remember going through the introduction and things like that. I want to talk about journaling a little bit, but Edward, who's a member of Time Crafting Trust Premium that's on the live stream, has a question. He goes, what are the most powerful questions that others have asked you? And who were they? Maybe that asked those questions.
So I'll think of a few of them. But I mean, the one that comes to mind that's most prominent, it's always ironic because this is the question I've asked probably about 300 people now. And it's how I start my show. And it's just, who are you? And the question, you know, I can't really think of the, you know, who asked me this. I've been asked a few times, but whenever I have that question flip back at me, because I've thought about it, but it evolves, right? Like if you think about who you are today, it's probably a little bit of a different answer than who you were maybe 12 months ago. Mm-hmm. And there are obviously through line characteristics and qualities and so forth that follow us throughout our whole life, but we evolve. And I'm always taken back when I'm asked that question as if I've never thought about it. I'm like, oh, that's a good, you know, that's a good question because it serves as a good check-in. You know, for me, it's a check-in on, I've spent the time identifying like who I'm striving to become and where I'm trying to head and so forth, and doing a lot of work to make sure that I'm heading down that direction. But this always serves as the check-in on, am I still that person, or am I evolving into, you know, that the world that I'm trying to create, for example. So, you know, that's the most practical question.
Well, let's drill down on it a little bit, because who asked you that question first that made you kind of like, because I know that you know, the most common question people ask is like, so what do you do? Right. Like it becomes not the who are you, but what do you do? Right. It's like the activity versus like the doing versus the being. Right. Like, I guess. So the question is I know that, you know, if I was to walk up to someone in a party setting and say, you know, like the typical, hey, what do you do? How's work? But if I was like, who are you? They'd either go, well, you don't know who I am. Or they would say, like, they'd give me a bit of a side-eye glance, right? So when who asked you that question first, and what was your, like, was your initial reaction like, oh, or was it like what, how did that feel for you?
This episode of A Productive Conversation is sponsored by Prolon. If you've ever considered fasting for its health benefits, but can't face the idea of days without food, Prolon offers a novel solution. It's a nutrition program that simulates the effects of fasting while allowing you to eat. Developed by scientists at the USC Longevity Institute, Prolon supports weight management, enhances physical performance, and bolsters gut health through a meticulously crafted 5-day meal program. This isn't just another diet. It's a lifestyle change backed by Nobel Prize-winning research, designed to trigger cellular rejuvenation and promote overall well-being. I can't wait to put it through the paces. The meals, ranging from savory soups to nutritious snacks, are all designed to ensure your body achieves a fasting state with the energy you need to maintain your daily routine. Prolon is convenient, providing everything in a single box delivered to your doorstep. I am anxiously awaiting mine. I encourage you to check out Prolon as well. If you're ready to see how Prolon can change the way you think about fasting and nutrition, then right now, Prolon is offering A Productive Conversation listeners 10% off their 5-day nutrition program. Go to prolonlife.com/timecrafting. That's prolonlife.com/timecrafting for this special offer. Head over to prolonlife.com/timecrafting to get started today. This episode of A Productive Conversation is sponsored by Shopify. Dreaming of starting your own business or looking to take your current one to the next level? Shopify is here to make that dream a reality. As the leading e-commerce platform, Shopify empowers you to start, grow, and manage your business with ease. From setting up your online store to scaling globally, Shopify provides all the tools you need to succeed in the marketplace. Customize your storefront, manage your inventory, and connect with your customers all in one place. With direct-to-consumer pricing, same-day shipping, and a global community of entrepreneurs, Shopify supports your journey at every step. Are you ready to transform your business idea into a success story? Visit shopify.com/timecrafting to start your free trial and embark on your entrepreneurial journey with Shopify. That's shopify.com/timecrafting to start your free trial. Do it today.
Well, I can, you know what, let me give you a different question because the question before that one is this one.
Okay.
And the question before that one was posed to me by Chip Conley, a well-known author and, you know, someone doing really great work in the modern elder category, as he just defines it. And it was during a time when my life was on fire, essentially, in all the wrong ways. I was shutting down that journaling app that I was mentioned in the beginning. Things were very uncertain, a lot of anxiety. First time in my life, I didn't have a plan forward. And I remember emailing Chip. I had interviewed him once at that point. And I just explained what happened. I said, do you have any advice? And Chip just replied back. He always replies with very short emails. And this was probably the most impactful one-liner that he ever gave me. And he just said, well, what do you want for your life? And that question, Mike, you know, if I ask that question to myself right now, it serves as a really good check-in and it links really well with that, who are you and who you're striving to become. But in that moment, that was the question that literally paused the track to deep depression. And I don't, if he hadn't asked that question, I don't know where the path would have taken me. Hopefully it would have been somewhere near here, but definitely would have been a more of a windy road, because that question paused my looping thoughts long enough to start to get clear to then ask other questions. Well, if this is what I want, then what do my days look like?
Right.
How do I set up my days? Who do I need to speak with? You know, what would that look like? How would I feel? if that's what I want for my life. And again, following that Socratic method before even knowing that it was really the Socratic method, it started to map a plan, because it was like I said, I think there was the first time in my life where I didn't have a plan forward. And that question allowed for a plan to start to be generated, motivation, hope to come back. And I think a year and a half later is when I started writing the book. And it's funny, I'm looking at it right now. I mean, Chip's on the cover of it. So it's with a blurb, which I couldn't think of a better full circle moment.
Yeah. The blurb, by the way, is "Personal Socrates is where ancient wisdom meets modern day mental fitness." And, you know, it's interesting as you're talking about that, I'm like, obviously that question was a pattern break to a degree, because you didn't expect it. Secondly, it led to the "who are you?" And much like you said about the "who are you" question, the question Chip asked you, the answer will also change depending on where you're at in your life. So that question is, to me, I'm imagining to you as well, a question that is not like a one and done. It's not a one and done. Most aren't, right?
No, it's not one and done. And I think that's where we, because if we let our minds go onto default mode, we're always going to be pointed into a fear state survival mode, just given the surroundings that we have. So we have to consciously set our lives up and make sure we have the habits and the systems and the environment around us to support who we are or who we're striving to become, right? And understanding, okay, well, if this is what it is, like, again, coming back to that question, if this is what I want for my life, well, if I don't check in with myself either at the end of the day or what I would say probably one of the most effective check-in practices is kind of mid-afternoon on a Friday. Mm-hmm. Three questions: what did I learn this week? What would I have changed this week? And what can I celebrate about this week? Those three questions take 10, 15 minutes and can ever so slightly just course correct the journey. And without those, that's when you find yourself on a whole other mountain and you get to the top and you're like, shit, I climbed the wrong mountain, right? How did that happen? How did I get so far down this track? And that's where I really, you know, I'm biased, obviously, but that's where I really believe good quality questions can help really make sure that we don't end up in those positions. And even if we do, how we can course correct and swing over to the appropriate mountain.
Let's circle back to journaling now, because that is, to me, one of the most, again, I've said this so many times, it's a hill or a mountain I'm willing to die on. Journaling is one of the most undervalued and underused productivity implementations that we have, right? Because it leads to, like you said, it leads to those questions. I'm curious, for those that struggle with it or dismiss it, which is a form of struggling with it, I would imagine, right?
Yeah.
What would you do? Having built an app that, you know, and obviously, I think if I remember correctly, and correct me if I'm wrong, you closed the app down not because, hey, journaling is dead. It was just, there was a lot of other things going on. I mean, I use the Reflection app by Holstie, which they just actually, as of this recording, they just did a bit of a retrofit to it. They made some upgrades to it. They've got questions within it that lead to like monthly reviews and annual reviews and things like that. A lot of them don't have. And the Holstie folks are quite, I mean,
they're great.
The Holstie Manifesto. I mean, that's where most people would know them from. But journaling, what would you say to somebody who they've been on the fence with it, or they've tried it and dropped it? Like, how do you get someone to recognize, because it's true, the benefits of it, so that they can make sure they're climbing the right mountain, make sure they can course correct quickly and easily.
Yeah. Well, first I think we need to blow open the definition of journaling, or at least let go of any past definition you may have had of it. Because just like what I'm talking about with society and so forth, there is a bit of a Hollywood version of journaling, which typically, and I used to get this all the time when I was running the app, revolved around this idea of, oh, you're speaking of the 12-year-old girl writing about the boy at school in her diary, which there's nothing wrong with that. But no, not necessarily. I'm talking about people that are taking time to reflect on some pretty powerful questions, or just taking time to think. Mm. And when you think of journaling from that perspective, the definition then for me for journaling is just reflection. And now when you take that into account, that opens up a whole other slew of options to journal. It doesn't just have to be pen to paper. There's good science to support that, but it can be in an app. It can be leaving yourself an audio note or taking a walk in silence and just leaving with a question or to think. That's all journaling. So we all journal. Mm-hmm. Again, we just don't typically do it intentionally. That's the difference, yep. Right? So I would just suggest for people to try it out. You know, just first, and it's easier to start with questions. You know, there are different forms. I mean, you can free write and just kind of empty your mind and so forth. But I find, and coming back to Chip, he's one of the chapters in the book, and some of his questions have been really helpful for myself. But just taking some time in the morning to check in with yourself, right? How am I feeling today? One word. Do I feel anxious? Do I feel, you know, tightness in my chest? Like, where do I feel that? Sometimes just asking that question lightens the whole emotional roller coaster. And you can do that while your coffee's brewing or your tea's steeping. And then don't stop there, though. Then set the intention of, well, how do I want to show up today? We typically don't decide that we want to show up miserable or that we want to show up low energy. We say, I want to show up, you know, energized, happy, grateful, whatever it is. But you set that intention. And even if you just start there, which so far, everything I describe is probably going to take you under 2 minutes, you'll start to notice the benefits. And then you start layering in those other practices, like I said, on end of the week, where you're just three questions, just checking in. All right, how am I doing? What's going on here? Gratitude. Anytime, just anyone listening, anytime the next time your mind loops, because it will, we all have looping thoughts. Something throws us off. You get an email that irks you or rubs you the wrong way, or you start reading into it like, oh, did I not send the right information or whatever it is. Notice that that's happening, which a journaling practice or any of these mental fitness practices will help you become more self-aware. Once you notice it's happening, then just pause and loop into a gratitude practice. Think of someone in your life that you would like to give credit or thanks to that you haven't given credit or thanks to in a long time. Just send them a message. Hey, I was just thinking about you. I hope you have a great day. So that's it. They're probably going to get that message. You've made their day. They'll write back and say something. Wow, you made my day. Thank you for sending that. Now they've made your day. And what's not happening while that whole cycle's happening is you're not looping. So fast. Seconds. But when we don't do that, we flip into this loop that can literally hijack our entire day and throw everything else off, and sometimes days, weeks, and years. That's how all this stuff starts to stack. And as Chip Conley says, it's the psychic toll that we collect day after day when we don't do these check-ins and just release and just blow out, you know, the mental clutter that's accumulating.
Yeah, again, it gets back to that quote, beware the barrenness of a busy life. Like if you're so, yeah. if the barrenness part is the zest, the joy, the human part, yeah. And busy can mean, I mean, if you look up that word busy, there's a lot of definitions. And I think all of them have nicely combined into occupied, foolish thoughts around busyness. Like there's lots of that there. Barrenness literally means like emptiness. And when you do something like that, I actually have in my to-do list, I have a YouTube video about this too. It says, make a difference in someone's day. That's on my to-do list. Now people, again, you don't have to go that far. Like I do that because I know that in the pace of the day, I need that stop. I need that this is important.
Totally.
And by putting it on there, I know I'll do it. Like I know it will get the attention it deserves. I can't tell you how many times people said, well, why would you put, shouldn't you just do that naturally? I'm like,
this episode of A Productive Conversation is sponsored by 1Password. Imagine a world where forgetting passwords is no longer a hassle and your digital security is uncompromised. 1Password offers a robust, intuitive solution to manage all your passwords with just one master password, safeguarding your information across every device. This isn't just any password manager. It's a comprehensive security tool that encrypts your data, ensuring only you have access. With 1Password, you can generate strong, unique passwords for each of your accounts, store sensitive information securely, and even share important logins with family or colleagues safely. Recognized by Wirecutter as the top pick for password managers, 1Password is the preferred choice for enhancing your online security without the complexity. Enhance your digital security by visiting 1Password.com. And we have a special offer for listeners of A Productive Conversation. Right now, listeners of A Productive Conversation get a free 2-week trial at 1Password.com/productive convo. That's 2 free weeks at 1Password.com/productive convo. 1Password.com/productive convo. Check out what 1Password can do for you, your business, and even your family today.
Probably.
You can't rely on your mind to do that.
I can't.
No, and that's not a knock against you.
Nope.
Can I give an example that just happened?
Absolutely.
So this last Friday, I did a 12-hour walk challenge. I had interviewed a guy by the name of Colin O'Brady. He's like a 10-time world record explorer adventurer crossing Antarctica and so forth. And he just realized in all these expeditions that it's that time in silence by yourself that a lot of stuff, you know, is cleared out, then reflections and insights come up. So he's like, how can I make this more accessible to everyone? So he came up with the idea, 12-hour walk, no music, no podcasts, no connection, just walk for 12 hours. And which was quite the, you think just walking, and I consider myself a fairly fit individual, but let me tell you, you know, halfway through, I was like, this is going to be interesting, you know, to make my way home. But what I noticed right away, I started at 6 a.m, was ending at 6 p.m. This wasn't a race. There was no tracking on time, pace, any of it. It's just here's tracking your distance essentially and time. That's it. But I wasn't being compared to anyone. Naturally, without even thinking about it, my mind was going to, I need to get downtown by this time. And all of a sudden my legs start to speed up and so forth. And I remember thinking, why? Like there is no reason for me to get anywhere at any time. I could just walk in a circle for 12 hours and I would have accomplished the objective. But then I thought, well, of course, because the standard day, I'm always running from one meeting to the next or conversation. And when those days are a little lighter on the meetings, then I'm trying to figure out, well, how do I finish my work in between those meetings? And it's always a rush. Finish the day. Next thing you know, I'm rushing to make sure that I'm done so we have dinner on time with the kids, clean the kitchen, rush to the baths, just so we can have a couple hours just to relax before going to sleep. And, you know, I have the practices, you know, to be self-aware, but it took some sort of break like that, mm-hmm. to your point on just putting something on the to-do to just cut the cycle. And, you know, now I've got some data, again, some clarity. Well, how can I make some changes so that, you know, that my life doesn't feel so rushed, even though I didn't even realize it, but it took that walk to do that, right? So we have to, you know, if we don't give ourselves those opportunities to still the mind so that these things can come up, then we fall into autopilot.
Yep.
And just keeps going.
And the autopilot isn't just the autopilot of what's inside our mind, but the external demands, like the external, because exactly. It's our mind against everything else. Now I want to go, speaking of, you know, going through things like a 12-hour walk, some people be like, I can't do that. That doesn't mean you need to do something like that. It's not like you need to, there's other ways to do it, obviously. Reading the book. You know, I'm taking it apart. If you're on the YouTube channel, if you're watching as a Time Crafting Trust premium member, you can see this book is beautifully crafted. I mean, I expect nothing less from Baron Fig as well. There's a nice little bookmark, which I put back in its little holder. Always nice to get a bookmark. Personal Socrates, of course, the book itself is well put together. I've actually written some stuff inside because whenever I get a new book, I always like to kind of... there's a couple things I want to ask you about.
Yeah.
First off, the pages left in the bottom of the...
That's Joey.
Okay.
That's 100% Joey.
Do you know why? Why was that decision made? Why was that choice made? Because, I mean, again, this is emblematic of, like, a well-crafted... It's a joy to, like, go through the book, the paper, all that stuff. I'm talking about, like, the build, but then also the actual content as well, which we'll get to we wrap up. But, I mean, that little piece, I'm like, oh. And this directly correlates to the, I have to get downtown. I have to hurry to get downtown. Yeah. Like, the pages left, it almost feels like, oh, well, I only have 2 more pages to read. There's almost that level there. So, can we talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. Well, I mean, From my understanding, I'm pretty sure the concept just came up. He said, you know, why isn't that why can't we borrow you know, Kindle strategy with pages left on any electronic devices and bring that to the analog paper world, which is, you know, a great insight. But the thing that really, you know, kind of seals the deal for me was that for anyone that has the book, or if they're going to pick up the book, the whole intention was to write chapters that were short enough, 3 to 4 pages, that you can consume them as your mental fitness in the morning to start off your day if you're doing nothing. And if you have a system in place or practices, then you can layer this in. There's obviously the intention is to provide some good reflections and narratives to support them in a short amount of time, so that, you know, we don't fall into that, I don't have time to do this, right? And the pages left, again, to your point, it's just another little subtle detail to show, okay, you know, again, while your coffee is brewing, like I still read my own book. It sits right beside the coffee machine, right next to Robert Greene's Daily Laws. And those are the two books I pick up that are quick starter points for me in the morning, because then my mind starts fueled with healthy nutrition, mm-hmm. good content, right? I'm not jumping into social media or news headlines. I'm starting the day with a prime mind ready to go. And just doing that, you feel like you've already won the day. So that, you know, that was a bit of the premise behind the pages left. And just, again, showing that you could really get a lot in, you know, 5 or 10 minutes in terms of consuming one of the chapters.
Got another question that's on the Time Crafting Trust Premium YouTube link right now, which is, and this may be forecasting, what is the title of your next book? And why is it that next title? Have you gotten that far yet? Or are you still kind of, are you in the process?
I am in the process. The process has taken a couple twists and turns, like as it should. And I value and appreciate that. I don't have a title, but what's consistent is the theme around who are you? And I started working on the next book concept and thinking of, who are the people that have a lot of influence and have the chance to create a lot of impact just based on what they do as a career and so forth? And I started to think about the musicians that inspire us through their art, and because we all have a song that moves us, right? Like, can shift our mental state. But then I started to think, there's also a whole other story that's not being told when you look at, you know, performers like Shawn Mendes or Justin Bieber, who both just recently canceled their tours because of their mental health. I want to know, what are you doing now? Like, what questions did you ask to build the courage to, A, cancel that tour? And most importantly, what are the things you're doing to train your mind to come back stronger? What does that look like? You know, who are you and who are you striving to become? That's the through line. Mm-hmm. So I started working on a book concept, and I'm being pointed in the direction of more of a limited film series. So if there are any producers out there listening, I am looking for a producing partner, but that's the next big project is around, again, the mental fitness, the questions that are fueling the minds of people doing a really great work that are all very relatable to any of us, because the questions make all of this stuff relatable, right? Like, Picasso is one of the profiles in the book, mm-hmm. but his questions are very relatable to any of us.
Yeah, there's Tolkien in there, there's Kobe Bryant, there's, I mean, and you alluded to how to read the book. Like, I mean, it's not much like the 12-hour walk. Like, you could walk for 1 hour a day, 12 days in a row, and just have the same, you could get the same impact. Same thing with the book. If you read the book all in one go, I think it defeats the purpose, right?
Totally.
I think you have to kind of bit by bit kind of, and that way you can dwell on it and ruminate, right?
Well, and you, with any book, I mean, the way to get the most out of books is to really pick a book, or in this case, a chapter or a set of questions that links to something that you're thinking about right now, or that you're trying to solve, because then all of a sudden the knowledge that you're picking up, you can flip it into action.
Yeah.
So that's why for the book, I suggest, you know, to just skim the table of contents and look at, see where your finger naturally stops. It might be the person profile, or it might be the prompt, but there's a reason your finger stopped there. And because there is a reason behind that intuitive hunch, you'll probably get the most out of it. And the reason I said that I often turn to my own book is depending on what's going on, if there's something in my mind that is bothering me, or flip side, I'm trying to ideate at another level and trying to come up with, you know, really unique ideas. I know there are profiles in here that'll ask me questions and also the narratives to support them that will inspire me to think differently.
All right. One last question before we wrap up. And that actually was a beautiful way to kind of segue into it, because this was not something I thought about. But I'm looking inside the table of contents. Yeah. I'm going to tell you what question is the one that is probably the one I would look at first and probably revisit more regularly right now than anything else, which will probably, my goal is anyone who's listening to this now will go, I wonder why, because they question that. Because actually, by the time this is released, you may have a sense. But those that are watching the video live, the Time Crafting Trust premium members, this is the question that I'm kind of pondering. And you know, it's in part one, which is get clear. It's Robin Williams's question. What does it mean to be unapologetically me? That's a big one. So that's mine. What's yours?
Mine right now is, how can I meet the world as it is? And that's in Jerry Colonna's chapter and profile. As I always find when the world feels heavy, it's helpful to jump into a question like that, because it usually, in the chapter, it leads to the notion that everything is impermanent. And that the good, the bad, everything's in cycles. A storm may come through, but it'll pass and so forth. So for me, I turn to that one just whenever whenever my mind feels heavy, and it just immediately resets it that this is just a moment in time. It literally can be just a, paragraph in my chapter of like book of life type thing, right? So which links to the other profiles that I usually, revisit the most is just, what story am I creating for myself? What chapter am I, what's the next chapter looking like? And that's a fun journaling process, right? It doesn't always have to be about releasing tension or anxiety or depressive thoughts. It can be very, uplifting on the other side of just designing the life of your dreams and just letting your mind go there. Right. Like go to the, let your imagination run wild.
Mark, this has been a great conversation. The book is called Personal Socrates: Questions That Will Upgrade Your Life from Legends and World-Class Performers. It is well written, it's well crafted. It is a phenomenal piece of art that I'm holding on to right here. So, all around, where can people pick up the book and keep up with the work that you're doing?
Oh, thanks, Mike. I mean, I'm going to plug Baron Fig. You can get the book directly from Baron Fig's website. But if you go to my website, behindthehuman.com, I have links in terms of where you can get it, whether you want an Audible version or the hard copy. I do suggest the hard copy for all the reasons that you mentioned, Mike, and even, I'm encouraging people to slow down and write in the book. And, there are small things like the book stays open when you write in it. It has Baron Fig's, lay flat notebook technology, which is nothing more annoying than when you're writing a book and the thing just flips around and you lose your page. So, I do encourage the hard copy, but it's available in e-format and Audible as well.
Mark, thanks so much for having a productive conversation with me today.
Thank you. I had a blast.
Thanks to Mark for joining me on the program today. You can check out all of the links that we mentioned, any other helpful links as well, at productivityist.com/podcast461. If you want to support the show, there's a couple of ways you can do that. Number one, you can subscribe to the show wherever you are listening to this podcast. That way you can find all of the archives simply, quickly, and also you won't miss a single episode of what's to come. Second way that you can support the show is by checking out the sponsors that were mentioned during this episode. Just go to productivityist.com/podcast sponsors, check them out, and when you grab any of the products from that page, just let them know that you heard about them through this podcast. And finally, you might have noticed that there were some questions being asked during the conversation that didn't come from me, but came from an audience. Well, that's because members of Time Crafting Trust, premium members, they had access to this episode eons ago. And it was live streamed as a private live stream. If you want to learn more about how you can become a member of Time Crafting Trust, a premium member where you get access to Focus Fix sessions, a ton of courses that I've put together, and so much more, all you have to do is click on the link in the show notes and you can learn more about that and sign up. We'd love to have you.
That's it for this episode. Thanks so much for taking the time to join me and Mark today during our productive conversation. Until next time, I'm Mike Vardy, the host of A Productive Conversation, reminding you to stop doing productive. Start being productive. See you later.